Good evening. It appears as if we're on the air, and after all that checking, I'd better check if my co-presenters are ready. I'm joined in the studio by Wilma Fingerdoo.
Check. Sorry. Present. Looking forward to the Gullnet food digest later.
Also by the Hutton Apology Officer, Mia. We're ready with the... Are you ready with the Hutton Sports Report this week?
I'll check.
Also, our latest member of the team, Juan Kerr.
Good evening.
The inimitable Normus Knockers, who with Flossie will be bringing us updates on what everyone's up to.
Work. I think we're ready.
And the commander that no one ever listens to, but says really important stuff, Lou Snockers.
Sorry, I was looking at NASA and the Pilots Federation and working out which planet was more interesting.
Well, there's more on NASA soon, but first, the headlines. Ice station naked.
I'm Commander Roraima. Give me your trash.
Rampaging rovers rob residents.
Banter bus bounces back after reboot.
Ball cop drops a stop cock unlocked.
He's going to say stuff that you're not going to bother listening to, so there's no point in me reading a headline.
Seamless.
And I'm telling you where everyone else has gone.
Former Lakon spokesperson Eric Bucknecked is no stranger to danger. Since his retirement, it was hoped that he had gone for a little bit of the easy life, knocking back tequilas whilst sitting in his rocking chair on the porch, or maybe just indulging a little barbecuing out in the backyard. Not for this trucker is the easy life, though. After a short acting career in classic lasagna westerns such as Pasty Rider, The Good, the Bad and the Naked, and A Fistful of Opals, he set out on a new mission to discover the location of Space Texas, somewhere else out there in the galaxy that gave him the vibes of being at home. The climate, the sheer size, the barbecued meat products, system to system in search of somewhere he could claim by putting down one spurred boot and standing proudly in his Stetson. Digging through the diaries of old spacers he found at the Tionesla ship graveyard, sometimes torn and stained from years of use, then decades of neglect, he found a cryptic diary referring to Dallas. Or more precisely, as some of the later letters were unreadable, Dalla. Searching through his pocket copy Universal Cartographics, kept under his seat, as all good nakeds don't have pockets, he dialed in the coordinates, put his boots up on the console, and set a course. Arriving in the system, the closest he could find was the star Dalla C, and he promptly set the auto-landing system for one of the planets. Dropping down the walkway without looking, and setting foot on the planet's surface, his first words weren't, "Yee-haw!" but, "Houston, we have a problem!" This was as far from Space Texas as it was possible to get, a frozen and icy tundra, and most definitely no sippin' whiskey. With a blizzard incoming and attired as usual, the nip in the air turned to a bite, and Buck watched as his undercarriage went corrugated, his hard points went brittle, and everything, including his trusty space cow, turned blue. Unable to restart the Type 9 due to icing on his fairings, he headed back inside through the... Though the temperature inside his quarters had dropped to, for a Texan, a blisteringly cold 12 degrees Celsius. For our American cousins out there, that's 53 and a bit Fs. And F he did. Despite activating silent running, the ship stayed cold, and unlike his co-pilot, who's blessed with thick fur, he didn't fancy gambling around the outside of the ship. The last communication from Buck said that he was finding anything flammable on the ship to make himself a fire to huddle round, but given the lack of items in his wardrobe, that probably means he's burning his way through the collected works of Senator Wagar, Volumes 1 through 100. He ended the transmission with a warning. Don't come to Dalla C. There are more icy bodies than his list of ex-Mrs. Neckids.
Commander Roraima appears to have taken a leaf out of Mr. Dusty's book.
I'm Mr. Dusty. Give me your trash.
Or else believes that he's playing Battlefield Scavenger and has decided that a life spent mudlarking around combat zones, the pinnacle of his piloting career. We would, of course, never stand in judgment over another pilot's choice of life, or indeed playing style, so we can objectively report that, happy to let others risk their ships and their lives in actual combat, our brave commander stands on the sidelines and watches the death throes of a valiant pilot as their ship disintegrates in a shower of sparks, then dashes in, limpets ablaze, to gather up any dropped materials that have been left behind, and scurries back to check on his spoils of war. This technique, whilst minimising the risks of being lasered by an enemy, since neither side is your foe or indeed your friend, not entirely without risk. There is always the chance that someone will spot what you're up to and take exception, resulting in your own ship producing an impromptu firework display, and a small snigger from someone who thanks you for doing all the hard work in gathering the materials. We don't want to leave you with the impression that this is a poor way to acquire materials. Why, just this week, Roraima has managed to pick up 32 tonnes of carbon, 3 flawed focus crystal, 18 tonnes of scrap, always welcome at Hutton, 17 shopping trolleys, an avocado coloured bath with only one crack in it, with a stain in it that's best not to ask about, and a fungal infection that seems annoyingly resistant to treatment.
Well, today sees the 1,286th anniversary of the Perseverance rover landing on Mars, and we have received worrying reports about its behaviour and that of its contemporaries. In an effort to keep themselves operating, the Martian rovers have been drawn to the suburbs of the Federation capital city, Olympus Village, where they have been scavenging for discarded tech they can use to replace worn or damaged parts. One resident said,
"They're at the bloody bins every night. Curiosity found a half-eaten kipper the other night and decided that it was a life form. Have you heard a 21st century rover loudly declaring it has found a life on Mars at 3 o'clock in the morning? It sounds like a ZX Spectrum screaming. I couldn't sleep with that going on."
Never mind that we are in the middle of a very large city full of humans and Mars has been terraformed for years, Curiosity decided it wanted to make first contact with a half-eaten smoked fish. "They're breeding too," one resident said. "I've seen little ones with the bigger rovers. They even resurrected Beagle 2, although it doesn't call itself Beagle 2 anymore. It insists, in a very loud voice, that it is Johnny 5 and that it is alive. I know they're protected as historical technology, but the Federation must be able to do something. Some of the dumber ones are falling into the canals and they make the place look really messy." Well, this worrying behaviour is not limited to the rovers. Some of the satellites have also been playing up, swooping down on unsuspected citizens to snatch technology right out of their hands. One angry Olympian told us that the Amal Hope probe, launched by the UAE Space Agency back in 2020, dove at her and stole a data slate she was working on. She ranted,
"I was in the park for a bit of air and decided to check my messages while I was there. Suddenly it went dark, and this satellite thing dropped down and snatched the data slate right out of my hands. As it flew away, I got into a big fight with Tianwen 1, the search for heavenly truth, and dropped my slate. It smashed all over the path. While they were fighting, Mariner 9 came trundling out of a bush and hoovered up the bits. I thought it was going to steal my money from the bank account, but the police said it was probably just after my chips."
The federal government said that as the probes and rovers are protected by international conservation legislation, there is very little they can do, except move them to the other side of the planet and hope they don't find their way back.
Commander Kinrain, Muggy Award winner and master of Baz's Banter Bus and the Hillpassy Blues, has, our listener has heard, been out of action for the last 3 months. After his incident, he's been in recovery and rehab and under the tender ministrations of Nurse Wyeth, who is attempting to bring him back online with a series of reboot and repair manoeuvres that hope to get his hard points back online, his communications up and running, and him back fighting fit and raring to go. News from the Hutton Infirmary is that Commander Kinrain has finally been discharged from the infirmary and into the care of Ali, who has been given instructions that he's your problem now, and for goodness sakes, will you get him to stop wearing those backless gowns? The most recent attempt at a reboot and repair has, however, been partially successful, bringing his communication systems back online. An inbound call to Hutton Orbital from his retreat was mostly successful, with only one word in 10 being censored by the swear filter. Hardpoints and ship systems are still partially online, but with comms running, he was able to get on to important matters, namely the Hilla Pa Sea and Banter Bus fleet carrier. His first words, "Oh my god, the maintenance! I've not paid the maintenance!" After rapid inquiries were made with his fellow banterers, we can confirm that falling down and going bump appears to have been one of the best financial decisions he has ever made, as the Banter Bus crew have been exclusively handing in their bounties aboard the special effect carrier, and it appears that Commander Kinrain might now be a billionaire. It's small comfort to a man who at present still flies around in circles and bumps into things, but at least he doesn't have to contend with the smell of mothballs once he finally gets back aboard the carrier.
As the apology officer is otherwise engaged with whatever apology officers do when they're not apologising, it's been left to me to say sorry for part of last week's show, where we may have inadvertently misled you about the nature of the drought in Alpha Centauri, which, in the end, only lasted for 6 days. Yes, we did say all hands to the pump, and this is serious, and begged everyone to bring in liquid to relieve us. But even once you thoroughly drenched us in your fluids, we were still as dry as a bone, and the situation was getting a little bit painful, and there was no lubrication reaching the affected system parts, and water sports were completely out of the question. We tried flushing, we tried hosing, we tried rinsing our mouths out and spitting, and eventually swallowing our pride, but to no avail. We were drier than Wotherspoon's wit after Beetlejuice makes a mistake, and we were prepared to concede defeat when somebody shouted, "Stop, cock!" I'm sorry, we should say, "Stop, cock." Have we checked the stop, cock? Now even we are not stupid enough, no, not even you, you know who you are, to have left the water turned off at the tap. However, it does appear that a certain Mr. CBT of Hutton may have accidentally parked his purple python on the main outlet hose, an act which the gentleman in question described as the worst blockage since my last kidney stone. And after shoving his ship to one side, water began to flow once more and all is well. Well, maybe not all, as there was no water whatsoever. Cecil started using gin for everything, which meant that his cup of coffee was more like an espresso martini, and he had a stupidly wide grin while cleaning his teeth. And Cubicle 3 was not flush for 6 days. A working party is still looking for ideas on how to make that section of the stable station usable again, but the front run at the moment is to tow it away and drop it into a sun. Not our sun, of course, as the colonial ejection would be massive.
On behalf, obviously, of Loose Knockers, who seems to be having a small Hutton frog in his throat, or at least his digital throat, this week we have 3 systems below 40% and 7 systems above 60%. And one system we don't want to be in, but we've somehow moved up into third place. Generally speaking, it sounds like a poem out of Blackadder, which is boom, 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 and boom. We have only 2 systems with notable states this week. Avic has an infrastructure failure and Trepin is allegedly under pirate attack, although that may just be Commander Defoe visiting and the intern getting a little bit premature with the red alert bulb. As we should all know by now, infrastructure failure can very rapidly plummet our influence. And as we worked really hard to take control of AVIC, we'd like to keep it that way. We need all pilots to assist with deliveries of food and machinery commodities and end this state as quickly as possible. Truckers using the excuse of, I was at the CG, can frankly do one, as it takes less time to get from Lutonstar to AVIC with a hole full of nosh than it does to fill up said hole with the rares they need. So if you can't spare the time for one T9 full to AVIC, then there's a naughty step in LHS 340 waiting just for you. And you'll have to ditch the T9 to get there as well. If the pirate attack turns out to be real, standard pew-pew tactics will drive them out. Find them and destroy them with extreme prejudice. Finally, the situation in Carcinari is getting a little out of hand. 14.5% may not sound a lot, but with all the assets owned by Ronin Inc., there are no conflicts to stall our progress, so we need to actively reduce our influence there. It won't go down naturally, as the natural reaction to our fluffy leader is obviously to offer him treats and your unending servitude. So get over there and support everyone except us and Ronin Inc. Meanwhile, over in Colonia, there's an election in Tyr, as usual. Everywhere else is also the same as usual, so drop your Hutton bounties at Fort Mug and run missions, passengers and trading in all of our systems. Data also can be dropped at any of our stations or outposts. And on that note, it's now over.
It's time now for our regular look at the community-led events out there. Saturday at 2100 UTC sees the start of the Small Ship Bounty Hunting event, organized by Commander Venezia. There's an entry in our events page in Facebook which says, we will be heading to Wolf 1481 for bounty hunting. We will only be using small ships for this trip, so make sure to outfit and engineer a good one. We will turn in bounties at Velasquez for Hutton and the rest at Alvin's Paw Carrier. We'll be launching from the Paw, so make sure to head out before the event. See you all there. If, like me, you find it hard to satisfy your bloodlust... Hey, who wrote this? Harry? Oh, you're joining Lou on the naughty step when I catch you. It's so good to use Floss's clanger. As I was saying, if you must go and shoot at pirates and Venezia's event doesn't suit you because you've got a big one, or it's past your bedtime, then King Hanky himself is organizing one for Sunday the 18th of February, starting at 1600 UTC, to celebrate his birthday! Details on our events page on Facebook. And now another update from Eros Mandalung regarding his voter-controlled expedition aboard the FTP Ifastan, this time featuring footage from our Commander Bapstar. Yes, the one from Bapstarcade.
The date is the 16th of February, 3307. What can I tell you about the first week exploring? Well, it's like all things. We got on our way a little late, and got fairly close to our target system. We did in fact pull a little bit short, as predicted, due to the low density of the region, and I didn't want to strand our explorers early on. After scouting the area, I noticed there was a small nebula nearby, and as such, it was voted that we relocate to the Trifid of the North, as a point of interest. I got out and did a little bit of scouting and exploring, as is the point of this journey, and I got down a few of the sights and sounds, such as this nice, really dusty ring of a gas giant orbiting a brown dwarf star, and a couple of potato worlds just for good measure. I also, thanks largely to good luck, managed to run into Commander Bapster, who was kind enough to give us a flyby and sent in some exploration footage to show you. So, I'll hand it over to him. Check out his Twitch and YouTube channel. Some really nice retro content going on there. What we've got here is a couple of really nice examples of magma volcanism, where you can sit there, try and toast some marshmallows from your SRV. This one is particularly cool. This is a water geyser or something close to it. So perhaps that does the only thing that you can do, which is to push yourself far off the surface. Little bit of lift off of that one, but I imagine the gravity here is a little bit higher than being able to break orbit or anything. The rest are mostly postcards, but very, very pretty postcards, especially of some nice canyons here. One of the water geyser. A quick pose next to the carrier. And what is an amazing shot of a close binary system and bark mounts. Some more foam rolls. And then finally, an Earth-like world. So, really nice find. These are really interesting. So these are crystal spires. They appear typically around volcanic activity, but typically very far from the entry point. So thanks to him and some of the exploration I did, and probably some others, we almost banked this week's upkeep, running at a small loss. It's not too shocking given that this area is kind of largely already explored, and the large ticket items have already been taken. So, as always, time comes to do the tally of the votes and to get the old black box fired up. It's at this point that I actually realized the Crate Phantom doesn't actually have a keyboard nearby, and I forgot to move the black box Jumpertron thingy from the Cobra. So, I'll have to go back there. So, just give me a moment. All right, here we go. Put the data in and hit go. Oh, not bad. This is pointing at a fairly reasonable jump, pretty much level. Minus 5200, minus 400, and minus 1300. So let's get up the map. I'm not going to read that, but once again, as with the last week, if I spot anything during the flight, or if I spot anything during the initial look around, I'll relocate the carrier.
Maintenance crews have signed off. All scheduled work has been placed on hold until the jump is complete. All crew, prepare for carrier.
Seems that that line might become a little bit redundant in the future, given that I did find an Intron star nearby, and so I relocated there. The plan is to stay here all week, so happy exploring.
And that's all the news we have this week.